Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Welcome to another edition of Out of the Box. This is KKCR's talk show, one of them that we do to come to you listeners with interesting topics. And, you know, KKCR, you know, besides putting on good music, like Shoots just did, and L, that was an awesome show, by the way. Really got me upbeat and feeling good, so thank you for that, L and Shoots. Besides that, we do programs that we hope will educate you, and we hope that you'll, in turn, educate us about certain issues and things you think are important, aspects of things we're talking about that maybe we haven't thought about. My name is Rick C. I'm sitting in, and sitting in for Jimmy Trujillo, and I'll be taking a little time off now after this. Jimmy's back, and JJ will be back, Jonathan will be back, and so I'll leave you in good hands. Today, in Out of the Box, I'm going to be focusing for most of the show on the country of Nepal. We'll be talking about the earthquake there, of course. One of my guests has been there and was there during the earthquake and did some work. And we have two other guests that will be here in studio. Then I have two Nepalese gentlemen that will be calling in a little after the 4:30 hour, and I'm privileged to have all of them participating here today. It's a roundtable program. That's what we're calling it. They're putting a round table in a square box, and I think it can fit. Everybody is going to benefit, including you. Dove is my engineer, Dave. So pleased to have you, Dove. Thank you so much for showing up here and taking good care of us.
Right on. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I'm pleased to be here. So the tail end of the show, the 5:30 to 6 o'clock hour, I am going to have someone that we all want to get to know here in community radio. It's the general manager, program director of Mana'o Radio. That's the community radio on Maui. And they've gone through a real transition about a year ago, and they are up and sailing and looking for growth and doing great things for their community over there on Maui. Had a chance to meet with him recently. And so Tony Novak Clifford will be joining us about 5:35. And for the rest of the show, we'll be talking with him again about another great community radio station here in the beautiful Hawaiian Islands. My guests right now are Anna Myers. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I also have, Maria. Let's just slide right up to the microphone here. Let's see if we can get you. Okay. And Maria is involved with the Love to Nepal benefit that's coming up.
Right.
Okay. Let's go ahead and put this microphone right there. How about that? Okay. Right, just play like you're a singer or something
that.
Like you, almost like you're a singer. And there we go. And Mary's here, too. Mary, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
And Mary, you know, in the few minutes since you gave me your card, I have set it aside. So tell me, your last name again is?
Bartnikowski.
Wow. Okay, no wonder I didn't remember.
It's 12 letters. Yeah. Yes, I understand.
Right. Okay, great. So I want to start. Each of you have something to bring to the table for the round table that we have here for talking about Nepal. Now, my disclosure is, when I was backpacking through Asia a few decades ago, I went through 13 countries and loved all of them for different reasons, but had a real deep sense of love, compassion for Nepal, for the people, the beauty, the culture. I was there for extended periods a few times, and it's something that's some place and something that's affected me my whole life, and I have a lot of affinity for that. So that's me. Anna, now you were a first-time traveler to Nepal, is that correct? And just recently, and you happened to get there when a big event happened. Tell us a little about that.
Right. I arrived the day before the earthquake.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
Quite a surprise, a shock, an earth-shaking shock. But the question that always comes up is, why did I go? And basically, I wanted to see the Himalayas. That was my whole reason for going to Nepal. So I thought, if I'm going that far and I'm going to take this wonderful trip, I had a two-week trip planned with overseas adventure travel. I thought, well, I should do a service trip while I'm there. I really like teaching English in schools, ESL programs. So through Wiki Vandeveer, who many people know in this community, she and Michael Vandeveer were great friends of this radio station.
She set me
up. Yes, she set me up with my contacts in Kathmandu to teach English in the school.
Nice.
So my whole plan was to teach English for a week and then go on my vacation. So, as I mentioned, the day after I arrived, I was in the bathroom of the hotel where I was staying, and the walls started shaking.
You were in Kathmandu Valley?
Right.
Yeah.
In the Tamil area.
Okay. It's a Tamil. That's
yeah.
One of the great areas for travelers to be.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. The old section of the city. But I was really fortunate. The hotel had minimal damage, just some cracks, and it ended up being a hotel where many of the search and rescue people came. We had people coming into the hotel who were evacuated. And now I'm getting tearful thinking about it. I'm sorry, but it happens to me.
I'm not okay. Sorry at all. I thank and you for sharing so deeply.
Yeah,
with us.
Well, actually, I've been talking about it quite a lot. And sometimes I get into my emotions and sometimes not. But I can pull myself out.
Feel free to be who you are here,
yeah,
on Out of the Box,
okay.
Really.
Well, basically, I felt that I needed to be there. Other people in the hotel couldn't evacuate quickly enough. And soon the hotel was empty of all of the tourists except for some of the other helper people and myself. And I became a different person. I became a helper 100%.
Nice. You rose to the occasion.
Yeah. It was my purpose. And I was lucky enough to have friends from here who sent me money to invest in helping there. And through researching and talking with people and going to wholesale areas with my friend there who was Nepali, we purchased rice and lentils and blankets and pads, and we would get a taxi and go deliver them to villages.
Nice.
It was great.
That's beautiful.
And then I started focusing. There's so many needs in Nepal, as you all know.
Needs besides the earthquake.
Yeah.
Even
before the earthquake.
A lot
yeah.
of needs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they are one of the poorest countries in the world.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Always have been for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So I decided I had to focus. There's so many needs. So my heart is in education and women and children. So my focus became looking at orphanages and rescue missions for women and children, and looking at the schools and all the repair work that was needed to get them back into classrooms and back into their homes, because everybody there is living under tarps and in tents at this point, and they need to get back under shelters. So sheltering these kids and women that had been rescued was a priority. And I found a lot of great places to invest money in. And today I'm doing fundraising also to help with the shelters in Nepal. I feel that's the most urgent thing we can do for all of those people who are still under tarps, and the monsoon rains are coming any day now.
Now, I'm certainly no expert, but yeah. I do know that, and as people probably know out there, but let's just not assume. The monsoon rains are a seasonal summer event that happens in Nepal. It is not the time that the tourists and travelers show up there because it's raining most of the time and the snow is melting. And it's kind of humid and more uncomfortable. But it's the time that the Nepalese are always there. And it's one of the more challenging time for them. It's not only the weather, but economically. So now we have tourists who are leaving the country because and not going to the country because they have fear around earthquake, their own personal safety and whatnot. And we have all these Nepalese, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people, I'm sure, I don't know what the number is, that don't have shelter, don't have a place where they can stay dry because they don't want to go back in their homes.
Right.
Understandably, especially after that second earthquake, you know, technically an aftershock, but a really huge. I think it was the second, was a 5.8 or something.
No, 7.5.
That was the second one?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
moly, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So who's going to want to go back inside?
Nobody.
Yes. So the shelter, please go on a little bit more about what are you doing, Anna, to find and to encourage people to donate, but also what's the mechanism you're working through?
I'm just working through friends, Rick. Okay. I've emailed friends and people on my email list that are in my Yogana program and some of the other programs that I teach. That's all that I'm doing. I'm just simply networking, and I've recently joined Facebook, believe it or not. Everybody else in the world seems to be involved with that, but I'm doing some networking through that, and I understand there is a program coming up Saturday night, a fundraiser, which sounds wonderful, and I'll support any organization I know. But I do know people on the ground in Kathmandu.
Nice.
They're Nepali people,
yes.
And also one is from Norway and another from UK, and they are involved, and they've been on the ground ever since I was there, buying food, buying shelter materials, and delivering them right to villages. So the villagers themselves can build the shelters. I have those contacts, and I have their bank account numbers so I can do bank transfers to them. And I'm just knowing they already have been helping so many people, and I'm hoping we can help a lot more through these people. They do have a website, but they've been too busy to update it with earthquake things.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain People is the name of my organization that I work and help with.
Where is Mountain People based?
In Kathmandu.
In Kathmandu?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it? Are they Westerners that started that organization, or is
no.
it? Or is it Nepalese based?
Nepalese. With a lot
awesome.
Of Norwegian help.
Nice. Great.
But Uttam Fayal is my contact, and that is Wiki Vandeveer's friend and Michael Vandeveer's friend. They're the ones that connected me with him, and he's kind of ahead of that organization.
Beautiful.
Totally trustworthy.
That's beautiful. So people want to support you, and I know you have an event yourself tonight, so we don't have you long, but please let us know if people want to support your project that you're working on, Shelter, give us all the particular information that they would need in order to get a hold of you, to know more about it, websites to look at, phone numbers to call. What can you tell us, Anna?
First of all, I guess my email address might be the best way to contact me now. And that is Anna Myers 1, the number 1, spelled A-N-N-A-M-Y-E-R-S, number 1, at hawaiiantel.net. Or you could call me at my home. That's 808-826-0355, 826-0355. Or Facebook, I'm Anna Myers in Kauai, and that's about all I can tell you about that. I guess you can find me that way, right?
Well, it's going to be
helpful. Is that the way you could do it on Facebook?
More helpful that it's M Myers, M-Y-E-R-S.
Yes, yes.
That's, and that people might, if they search for you that way, probably easier
right.
to find you in that way. So.
And there are, that's a very common name, so you have to find the one in Kauai. And I have a lot of pictures. I have a lot of stories, and I'm willing to share with anyone or a group. Just get hold of me.
You were there for a month, and you've just returned 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Before you go, mm-hmm. is there one story you'd like to share with us?
Oh, I might cry if I tell you.
That's totally allowed here. Yeah. We might cry with you.
Maybe I shouldn't tell that story. Well, I'll try. All right. It's about a baby.
Mm-hmm.
A little baby that was born premature right at the earthquake time. And right 2 days before I left, she was given away by her parents, and along with her older sister, to the woman that I contacted who does rescue work with prisoners and anyone who has a child that needs to be raised. This woman raises their children. Anytime the parents can raise the children themselves, they can pick up their child or children.
Mm.
But this little baby has the tiniest. It was born premature and maybe 5 pounds and a month old.
Wow.
So my heart went out to this child.
Of course.
And then I saw this lady, Indira Mega, I can't pronounce her last name, but I have all of her information. She received a good donation from me and my group. But then I decided after sleeping on it that I really thought I should help raise this child. So I'm sponsoring or co-sponsoring this child with anybody else who wants a child in Nepal, and we can follow along. And the woman who runs this organization is similar to the Mighty Nepal woman, and they're like Mother Teresa's in what they do. Loving the children to death, not to death, to life.
Sure, understood.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, that's one of my best memories.
That's a beautiful thing.
And
you
that'll
really
be a reason to go back to Nepal, huh, someday.
That's right. You'll be going.
Yeah.
And then you showed up there in your magnificence, Anna. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to cry.
Thank you.
No, it's a beautiful experience you had. I mean, there you go. You go just over to enjoy a fantastic country and culture, and you're called to service, and you rise to the occasion, and there you are, and you're touched and moved and changed for the rest of your life.
True. I was a privilege to be there.
Anna's phone number, if anybody wants to reach her, is 826-0355. Her email address is Anna Myers 1, AnnaMyers 1, as in the numeric number 1, at HawaiianTel.net. Anna Myers, thank you so much for coming in out of the box and sharing your great experience.
Namaste.
Namaskar.
Namaskar.
Thank
you.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's see what else we have here. A couple other contestants here on Out of the Box talking about Nepal. And you know what? The one thing is, we can go deep, and yet the one thing I know about Nepal is those people know how to play.
Mm-hmm.
They live
in
deep poverty, and yet they know how to play. Was one of the things that really endeared me to them. They're joyous people.
They love to sing. They love to laugh.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know, I remember when I would be on the street in Kathmandu, I had an apartment there for a while. And, you know, you always had the same street kids who would always come up to you, basically every day. And they'd be asking you, oh, paisa, 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 which means change, change, change. And, you know, you can't give to them every day. So what I got to do is I would say, I'd pull my pockets inside out, and I'd say, paisa nai. I'd say, I don't have change, but I say, madinos exati. That means, I don't have change, but I'll give you one friend.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd look at me, and they'd smile, and they'd put their arms around me. We had a great event.
Aww.
Nice time.
Nice.
So, thank you, Anna. Thank you very much. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, we have a fundraiser coming on, which is so exciting to me. I've been wanting somebody to jump out there and do something. I know the Society of Nepalese in Hawaii, which is a great organization of Nepalese people who live in this wondrous state. They have been doing benefits, but they're on Oahu, And one member of the Society of Nepalese in Hawaii will be calling us in. Kabe Nupane will be calling us in at 4:40 p.m. But until then, we have this great event happening right here in our neighborhood at Molawa'a. And Maria Christina, you're going to be singing there. Tell us about the event.
Okay, so the event, it's interesting because I already was wanting to put an event together with some friends. There's just so much support and so much love here for Nepal and for the people and just helping rebuild and support them in any way we can. So I've come together with some other artists that will be performing for a benefit concert we're going to have on Saturday evening from 6:30 to 10. And it'll be at a private home in Molawa'a, so there's a phone number and email address if anybody is wanting to find out.
So directions aren't just going to be thrown on the radio or on the poster. So if they want to get directions, what do they do?
They can call the number that's on the flyer.
Which is? 443. It says pretty small print here. 6600, I think. Oh, thank you for the big poster. 443-6800.
443-8008,
443-6800. And that is in the 808, as Maria is saying.
Or you can email rainbows of music, all one word, plural rainbows of music @gmail.com.
That's awesome. That is really great.
Yeah, we're really excited about it and looking forward. And so many people have come together to support. And it's sweet hearing you guys talk about other, you know, organizations that need funding, because we've been talking about hopefully putting something together, even possibly on a regular basis, maybe quarterly, so that we can all come together and have more of these events to support. So we're hoping if this is a successful event and everything is smooth, that this will be the first of many.
Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I'm going to say we open up the phone lines now. If you have calls, we needed to let Anna get her information out because she was on a very tight time frame. My other guests are here for longer, and so if you have questions, comments about this subject, give us a call, 826-7771, here at Out of the Box. My name is Rick C. I'm sitting in today. I'm just so happy to be here and happy to have Dove as my engineer. And we will entertain your calls comments, questions, as you might have them. You know, we are so fortunate to live in the United States, in the Western world, in the wealthy land, and plus, you know, in a beautiful place called Hawaii at this time in history. We are so fortunate, and we are so rich not only in the beauty and what we have around us and our friendships and our stability and our health and the safety, but in our finances. And this is really something for each person out there who's listening to contemplate, and I hope you will. Think about yourself, and do you have anything to share? Time, money, resources, can you go to Nepal? Anna can hook you up if you want to go to Nepal. Please consider that. It's so important to do what we can for one of the poorest countries in the world, poorest economically countries in the world, maybe one of the richest cultural countries in the world. So now we have the benefit coming up this Saturday. It's going to be, what time is that?
6:30 to 10.
6:30 to 10 p.m. So what is this? So like 10% of this is going to go to Nepal?
No, everything's going.
You're sure you don't have big corporate overhead and limousines and things like that you have to pay off? No?
No, all
of it's going.
Yeah, everything.
All right, I knew that. I was just kidding.
We are renting a PA, but somebody donated money for that.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
So who's playing?
Preeta is playing. Tangled Roots is playing.
And there's another woman I saw on the poster.
That's me.
you are this long.
Okay, I'm fine. And we'll actually have some other artists there too. There's going to be an amazing violinist and guitarist that are going to open up, and we have some other people that are wanting to sing and play, you know, early in the show too. And Kana is going to dance, and it'll be a great show.
That's awesome. That's really great. People coming together. You know, God bless the artist community. The artist community tends to come together for these kinds of things. That's a beautiful
thing.
It's beautiful. So I want to, Mary.
Yes.
So let's talk about you a little bit.
Okay.
Now you've been in Nepal 4 times,
yes.
if my count is correct.
That's right.
And your son has been there with a fantastic nonprofit organization that he founded over there, Beyond the Walls.
Beyond the Four Walls.
Beyond the Four Walls.
For women and children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit. First of all, I can see on your face you are one proud mom. You know, that you've got a son who has great ethics, who's over there helping people. Must be a wonderful feeling for you.
Well, it is. You know, he got me over there and really taught me about giving of yourself.
Nice. Beautiful.
And I am so grateful for that.
Nice.
Because we all need to do that. There are brothers and sisters over there.
That's awesome.
And they're the kindest people. Yeah. You know, they really taught me about aloha before moving here to Hawaii.
Oh, that's an interesting concept. I hadn't thought about that, but that is not hard to understand.
And that's just how they are. They embrace you and take you into their families, and I've lived in mud huts with them and done quite a few projects myself there and fallen in love with the country and the people. So I keep going back.
You know, one of the interesting things is about Nepal, and I think it's unique, that they are a blend of Hindu and Buddhist culture.
Both.
And they have this... I don't think there's another culture that has that same kind of blend. It's really fantastic, and I think that's what gives them... I mean, I love people in the Buddhist countries. There's something about them, the easygoing joy in Burma, I remember that.
Yes.
In Thailand, I remember that. And so... You know, that's some of what I think it infuses their joy.
Well, they can teach us that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. To come from nothing and to maintain that joy, maintain
that
place.
That's right.
You know, instead of a lot of us who, I mean, I've been there. I've had so much abundance and I wasn't happy, you know. And I think that's something to reflect on. Let's reflect on your son's organization.
Okay, great.
Come on, Mom. Talk all about him.
So Beyond the Four Walls was started 4 years ago, and he's right in Bhaktapur. And it's a technology hub that he's got about 50 families he takes care of. And he's getting all of them now, just like Anna said, into shelter and building an eco-village for them. All efforts are now on the earthquake relief.
Mm.
One of the girls died, and that was very sad, but everyone else that he was taking care of is alive, and they're out in tents on the street. And it's a very urgent thing right now because they're so vulnerable to sex trafficking, and it's happening. And so, you know, these poor women get duped into giving their children to these Indian men that come over and ask and say they're going to give them a job. So... What his organization is doing is building earth bag homes. He rented the property for $500 a year for the next 10 years. And they built a well the other day in one day.
Wow, fantastic.
Isn't that great?
That's really great.
Yeah, so they're on phase two. He raised $13,000 in just a few weeks on Tilt. And I can give that information out. And we're in phase two now to... build the property, build the earth bag homes before the monsoon. Because, you know, actually the monsoon is late. I have been there when it started in March. And it rains for like 12 hours.
That's what I was thinking. Yes, exactly. We're starting to get calls in.
Oh,
let me ask you the question.
Yeah.
When you say he takes care of these people, let's flesh that out a little bit.
Oh, okay.
What does
so
he do
he gets,
to help the people?
Okay, he gets sponsors from here in the States.
Corporate sponsors. I think he had some good companies.
Yeah, Motorola, it. American Apparel,
right.
GoPro, Spec.
Yep.
And then individual people, just like Anna's doing, to sponsor people all year round. So for maybe like $5 a month, you can have, he got computers donated by Goldman Sachs, and they come in, they learn the computers. He opened up a coffee shop that the girls are running, and so they get employment training.
Nice.
And they're learning English.
Yep.
And then, so the sponsors pay for that and the corporate donations, of course. And then money is always needed. But he is renting a building right now that's completely survived the earthquake and is a modern building. He gave a room to several women that they could live there for as long as they wanted because they had to get off the street, and they're living there now. And so now we're pushing through with the building for the eco-village of Earthbag Homes. And he's got a seismic person who charges millions of dollars and is, of course, doing it for free, and an architect. And
wow.
It's going forward.
That's awesome. That's
yeah.
really, really great. Well, all right, we have one of our other guests who's called in, and
great.
I just want to say beyondfourwalls.org.
Beyondthefourwalls.org.
And I went there this afternoon, and there is a fantastic, I went to the Facebook page, and there's a fantastic video of the girls, some of the younger girls, and with the GoPro camera, just having so much fun and showing their joy and their independence and their playfulness, and that is on Facebook. I think that's
well,
wonderful.
Well, that was the movie he made, Wolf Price. You should actually go to Facebook, Wolf Price on Facebook, because those are all the current pictures of stuff that's happening today.
Great.
He hasn't had time to update his website because he's out there saving people. So.
Good. That's time well spent.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's get Sharat on the air. Sharat, are you on the air with us? Sharat.
Hello. Aloha.
Yes,
Aloha.
Sharat Marahata, who is, you are living here on Kauai with us.
Right. I am here on Kauai for about 4 years.
Four or 40?
Four.
4 years. Okay, I was going to say, you don't sound that old.
Yeah, I'm not that old, you are right.
Yes, and now Sharat, so you have a very interesting job here on Kauai.
Yeah, I'm teaching, I'm working with kids. I'm at Kauai Community College.
Oh.
That's fantastic. So you're working with young people there and teaching them, I think you said, botany and sciences?
Right. I'm teaching botany, horticulture, and agriculture-related courses.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's great. How did you come to Kauai? What was up? Do you just need a tan, or what was it?
No, I was here in Honolulu.
Yeah.
I was doing my PhD, and just immediately after completion of my PhD, then I see a vacancy.
Mm. Yes.
And that was for Kauai Community College.
Yes.
And I applied, and fortunately, I was selected.
That is very great. Excellent news. Now, I want to shift gears. So, Sharat, we really want to talk about you. Now, as a Nepalese man, being here away from your home, not able to get back, how is your village?
Well, my birthplace is almost gone. I was born in Gorkha, epicenter of the earthquake.
Gorkha, yes. Gorkha got hit the hardest.
Gorkha,
yes.
Yeah. I'm originally from Gorkha. But right now, my parents, they are in a plain area, so my parents are safe. But many other villagers and my childhood's friends, they have a hard time. So unfortunately, I'm not with them right now. But fortunately, I'm here. I'm in this beautiful island. This is my situation.
Yes. How's your family?
My family members, basically my mom, dad, and my sister and other members, they are safe because they are in plain area, not in Gorkha right now.
Very good. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
So now, what do you want to tell people in Kauai, in America, about your home that will help them to understand the beauty of your culture and help them to maybe think twice, help them to want to help you?
Many people are helping. So I just want to say thank you, and several times thank you, specifically to Anna, Mary, and other friends who are helping. Yeah, there are several limitations, several problems.
Yes. Yes.
Hopefully, we can work together.
Yes.
And so, ultimately, we can empower them. Yes, I want to say only these things.
Great. Okay. What do you suggest? What do you think is most important? As we were saying earlier in the show, and you can correct us if we're wrong, but my understanding is that Nepal needs support and it benefits from support that people do all the time, and yet now we have a country that is poor that can benefit from support from our finances, from our technology, and now you have the earthquake problems to deal with, and you have monsoon coming in. What is the most important thing for people to focus on, or the most important things, you think?
Right now, the most important thing is constructing houses, mm-hmm. Saving them from monsoon, saving them from rain. Many of them, they don't have shelter. So shelter is number one, probably. So construction is number one. And then I would say education is number two. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit. Now, you've lived on Kauai for 4 years, or in Hawaii for 4 years, and what is the monsoon compared to the kind of weather that we typically get in Hawaii? Is it similar? Is it seasonal? Is it just come, you know, a little bit here and there? Well, what's it like? What's it really like? Paint a picture for our listeners to understand what the people in Nepal will be soon dealing with.
Oh, yeah. In Nepal, monsoon means extreme rainy season, and that happens normally in between June, July to up to the beginning of September.
Yes.
So right at that time, during the monsoon time, generally there are rain almost each day. So heavy rain, and then a lot of rain means a lot of landslides, a lot of floods, and it means additional problem for the peasants, additional problem for the people who don't have houses,
yes,
and also for the livestock and agriculture and forestry.
This is something you have to deal with every year.
Right, every year. Yeah, we have to face every year. And right now, in this year, the challenge is, the degree of challenge is extremely high because of the earthquake.
Now, you know, one of the problems that I think that we have in this Western world, this soundbite news, educated people that live in this Western world is, you know, we listen to the story of the day and, you know, oh, the earthquake hits in Nepal and we're all very sad and we're all thinking about it. And then something else happens. And there's a shooting in Baltimore, and then there's a train wreck in New York, and then there's, you know, different things going on. There's ISIS, or, you know, and I think, and this is what I would want to try to get across to people. But I want you to share what you think about it, Sharad. We tend to forget. We tend to look at what's happening now and forget. And this is similar to the experience I learned a little bit about Haiti. When Haiti had that just devastating earthquake a few years ago,
Right. There
it was, you know, we same thing. Oh, gosh, everybody's Haiti for a week and a half. And kind of, okay, then, you know, what are the Kardashian sisters doing? You know, tell me about... What does it mean to you, and what do you think it means to the people of Nepal for the long run? What's it going to take to rebuild, to make people safe again?
Basically, better construction, number one. And in some of the places, they may have to move from more vulnerable places to a better place, but that is for just handful of villages. In most of the cases, if we construct better structure, earthquake-resistant structure or tolerant structure, then that will be sufficient, I guess, for now. Development itself is, it has a lot of things, so there are several other things. We always need several other things, but right now, our people, they need a shelter where they can stay, they can feed their kids, and then they can survive.
You know, we have Kabi on the line. Going to keep him on hold for just a minute, and then Kabi, I'll be with you if you're listening. There are a couple of organizations that we have talked about, and we will talk about more in the show. I want to get Kabi on the air, but I do want to go back and revisit the names of them. There was Mountain People is a Nepalese organization that is focusing on housing. And I think you said your son, also
yes.
Mary, his organization, BeyondTheFourWalls.org, is that he's working on some shelter issues?
Yeah, there's earthbag homes are being built, and the land has been rented. And you would actually go to Tilt to make a donation.
Okay.
And it's tilt.tc/x7we. And if you want to see pictures that are happening right now of the building and the well that's being made, go to his Facebook page, which is Wolf, like the animal, Price.
Wolf Price.
Yeah, Wolf Price on Facebook.
Facebook. Okay.
It'll come right up, and it'll have the donation link to it.
And if they want to search, because the address you just gave was not super easy to remember. How do they want to search for that organization?
Yes, if you go to tilt.com, you just put in earthquake, direct earthquake relief.
Direct earthquake relief, and Tilt, T-I-L-T?
Yes, dot com.
Tilt.com.
It's great. Like crowdfunding.
I'm Rick C., R-I-C-S-E-A, M-O-U-S-E, and I'm sitting in and out of the box today. We're talking about the beautiful country of Nepal, some of the challenges they normally face and that they're facing today, right now, in the face of the monsoons and in the wake of the earthquakes that have come through and devastated that beautiful country. I'm talking to few guests here, and I'd like to welcome. First, I want to. Phone line is open if anyone wants to call in. Comments, questions, if you'd like to share something. 826-7771. I'm honored to have Dove. Here's my engineer today. Dove, let's put Kabi on the air. Kabi, namaste.
Namaste.
Hey.
Namaste. Good to see you.
Yes, and welcome back to Out of the Box. It's been about a month, I think, since we talked.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's about a month.
So it's good to hear your voice. And now you are one of the movers and shakers, as we say here in America. You're one of the people that get the work done with the Society of Nepalese in Hawaii. And tell us a little bit about your organization. I've heard you popping up. I've heard you on Hawaii Public Radio, and you're out there working hard to support your people. Tell us a little about the organization, and then what you're doing these days.
Well, the Society of Nepalese in Hawaii was started back in 2007. I was one of the founders. In fact, there were only a few people in Hawaii at that time, and we essentially wanted to have some of our friends, because we miss home, etc. So, you know, just have regular, some of the national festivals, cultural festivals, etc. That's how it all started, 2007, and we really stayed quiet. It is a 501c3 nonprofit charity. Over time, we have done some smaller works. We are just trying to be, neighbors, good neighbors with the people, the community we're living. So we go to, schools, or, we introduce a little bit of our culture, have some of the programs, etc., which is until these earthquakes occurred. And then now we are in a very, very different situation, because like everybody else, we felt the pain, we felt the helplessness, and we see all these images that are devastating, and we felt like we need to do something here. And we're really, really surprised by how many friends we had in the community, and the community just came pouring there, opened their homes, their hearts, their wallets. And, you know, this little organization here, we have currently received over $60,000 in donations.
Beautiful.
And, you know, this is really amazing. So, you know, there is a lot of interest right now, and we are really trying to keep everything in perspective, trying to do our best, knowing fully well that, you know, the need is enormous. You know, it is just unimaginable. Of course, alone or even as a small community, we definitely cannot meet all those needs, and that's not what we are trying to do. We are just helping to do our little part. And that way, I think we introduce ourselves to our friends, and we really form a nice, close community long-term. And to me, the long-term needs and long-term relationships are what the positive outcome of this devastating situation are.
Yes, and well, and we were just talking about that. I don't know if you ever... You're able to listen before you were on the air.
I was, and it was so impressive. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, we're talking about the long term, and how do we? You know, this is something that I'm going to encourage people. I will not be doing a talk show for some weeks now after this, but I want to encourage our listeners to keep calling radio stations, telling their friends, stay on top of the news. If you have to, search for the latest news on Nepal, and keep reminding each other about the importance of this. Don't fall prey to the Western mindset of, well, that was news a month ago, Rick. What are you talking about? You know, and this is the long term. This is like building a family. You don't pay attention to your kids, you know, when they're babies, and then stop paying attention to them. You pay attention all the time. And you help them grow, and you help them, you know, get into independence. Now, of course, the babies are around you all the time, and so you think about them. So it's going to be each of our challenge to see how do we, as caring, compassionate human beings who are financially, in most of us, many of us, in a relatively financial good situation compared to our brothers and sisters in Nepal, how do we stay conscious about it? So I also want to salute, tip of the hat, as it were, to Sharad, because Sharad, you are a member of Society of Nepalese in Hawaii, yes?
Yes, I am.
Ah, very good. Member in good standing. Kavi, has he paid his dues?
Sharad was, he was, what, vice president?
Ah,
I forget. Once upon a time. Once upon a time, yeah, when I was there.
Very, very nice. Now, you all have chosen, let me remind the callers, this is Out of the Box. It's 49 minutes after 4 o'clock. 826-7771 is the number if you'd like to call. We're going to be going with this subject until about 5:15, and we'll... And then we'll open up the phone lines, and at 5:30, my guest will be Tony, the general manager over there at Mana'o Radio, and so I hope you'll stay tuned for that. So let's talk a little bit, 826-7771, and Dub, what is that 800 number? I don't have it in front of me. Where is that? 1-800-1866-something.
275-1112.
866 You could have sold a car with that speed. Slow it down, pal.
826-7, the way are my 866-275-1112.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Toll
like
free.
Like a real professional, yeah. So if you're off island, feel free to call that number. Now, Kavi, so you and is it Sneha? Is that
Sneha.
The acronym?
Yes. Sneha. Sneha.
Okay.
Sneha means love. You know, although the acronym fits right well, Society of Nepalese in Hawaii, in Nepali, and in Sanskrit, it means love.
Fantastic. That's the Nepalese word for love.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of sneha here in this room and on the phone. And so your organization, Sneha, has chosen, if I recall from last time I talked to you, has chosen a couple of villages to support. Tell us a little about that and how the money is being spent, what the focus is for Sneha right now to support your brothers and sisters.
So far, we have already chosen 8 different projects in 4 districts, in different villages. So our help has evolved with time. So it is, you know, we are daily, constantly in touch with folks on the ground. So we have friends, we have organizations. Many of these are Nepali, local, Nepal-based organizations. We do have partnerships with a few U.S.-based organizations. Some of these are led by Nepalese. But so far, we have spent about $26,000 in various projects. Initially, it was food. It was just the medicine, things of that nature. But quickly, we realized that, you know, the greater need is really shelter and for education. So currently, we're really focusing on providing these tin sheets, roofing sheets for villages. Each house needs about, you know, two bundles of these sheets.
Yes.
Costs about, you know, 10,000 rupees, which is, you know, $200, $100. So we are, you know, giving those tin roofing sheets and the material for temporary housing.
Well, it sounds like we are all in agreement, at least the voices that I'm hearing, is the shelter is the most important thing.
And then the second one is schools. You know, the many
Excellent.
Schools are devastated, and
yes.
the kids. Now, the schools just opened last week, and many of these kids are just, you know, are roofless, temporary places out in the yard. So it is really difficult for kids to focus, but, you know, the government and the local officials, they wanted the children to be children, and, you know, in a way, you know, they can play, etc. So it just takes their mind off, and we are trying to support schools to have this temporary roof on top. And, you know, we are really choosing, currently we're in the process of selecting two schools.
Yes.
Which we really plan to build in a better way. So, you know, with all the supports we have, many of these initial donations are dissipating. These are consumables. But we really wanted to create a long-term sustainable society and sustainable link. So with our little money that we have collected, we are focusing on a few schools and then take our time and, you know, build them in a nicer way. So that is currently our membership is thinking of doing.
Right.
We have not moved that money yet, but, you know, we are taking our time and, you know, we are helping where we can, where we feel we realistically can make changes, you know, in conjunction with our partners in Nepal as well as our members here, because we know individuals, you know, somebody's like Sharad's family is over there, or, you know,
yes.
we have people who returned back to Nepal from Hawaii, U.S. alumni, they are there, East-West Center alumni are there, so we're using our local contacts like that.
So, Kabi, what percentage of the money that people donate actually gets to the people? Come on, let's be honest now.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, what percentage of the money the people donate actually gets to the people in Nepal?
Oh, currently it is 100%.
100%?
It is 100% because we have this agreement with local Nepali NGOs. They are not charging any overhead. You know, this is an exclusion. I'm not sure what will happen when we go to this school, real construction, permanent kind of structure, but so far it is 100%. Everybody in our society here is a volunteer. They have given a lot of time. You know, we have other jobs, but we have given a lot of time. Just like you, Rick, you know, you have done such a fantastic task to bring community together. And we are all doing it out of our you know, heart. And, you know, I was listening to Anna Myers before, you know.
Yes.
So it's almost like that. You know, she didn't have to do that. She happened to be there, and she did what she did. And we are doing what we are doing, and basically we are channeling everything, you know.
Yes.
In fact, many of our members are putting money out of their own pocket and adding to that one. So
yes.
You know, currently it's going that way.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that. I knew that's where your heart was. I knew that's where you... But you know what? The reason I say that, and I'm being a little playful with you about that, but what's really serious is that a lot of the big organizations, and I think Mary and I were talking about this earlier, before, is a lot of the big organizations, and, you know, I could name them, but I think I won't at the moment because I don't have the facts, but a lot of the big organizations that are, quote-unquote, caring for people in foreign lands, much of the money goes for their overhead, for their offices, for the jets, for the whatever.
For their salaries.
For their salaries, you know. And right. I'm just guessing. I'm going to make a wild guess here. I'm going to guess that you don't get much of a salary, Kabi.
Oh, no.
Does Sharad get it all?
Hawaii Community College pays him.
Oh, okay. Well, he deserves that because he works hard and educates our people.
That's what
we love. Okay, so, but Mary, talk for a minute about that, about your understanding of how it is in the real world with the big organizations.
Well, I have to say, I just talked to my son in Kathmandu 2 days ago, and he said there's no evidence of the big ones there now, absolutely none. And so people are, young people are going around doing things, and he's well established there because he's been there 10 years, and... I'm sorry, you didn't hear me before?
No, I did, totally.
Oh, good.
Just go ahead.
Okay, good.
It's a little loud.
So, you know, it's going on. And, you know, I know from my own experience that bigger corporations charge, give their big salaries to the people running them, and the budgets for the advertising are huge. So that money isn't getting to the people in the most dire need. I've worked with other organizations as well, and I have to say this right now, that I feel the best thing that a person could do is donate to a group that you absolutely know, like Beyond the Four Walls, Anna's group.
Mountain People,
both, because we know that all that money is getting to the people in the most dire need, and
Sneha,
that is the ticket.
Sneha.
Yes.
The Society of Nepalese
yes.
people, and those are the groups. And not that's not limiting. I'm not saying those are the only groups.
Oh, I'm
but
not either.
We want to encourage people, do your homework.
Yes. Yeah,
do your homework. And we're going to talk in just a moment.
I got one more thing to say.
Sure.
You have to go visit Nepal. Don't let this stop you.
Yeah.
This is going to help people so much for you to go and travel there. And even if you don't do a volunteer project, you're putting money directly into people's pockets that live there and rely on that income all year long.
Right.
It's a huge industry, and that's a good way to support Nepal.
Sharad, what do you have to say about that? Does that sound like far-fetched? Maybe some old hippie saying something? What do you think? Is she right?
I'm on the same page, right? Yeah, we all are, maybe not we all, some of us have to travel, have to go, have to visit, and in this way we can help Nepal and Nepalese. And in case of selecting of certain organizations,
yes.
There are several. I like Beyond the Four Wall. I like the Mountain People, Hilly People, and then Sneha. So that's all.
If I may, Rick, you know, the key here is to really understand who is on the ground, who has local contact.
That's right.
And if we do that, the money will directly go to the people who are in greatest need. I have seen these stories where people, you know, they want to do good. You know, their mind are in a good place, but they drive this truck with some supplies. And along the way, on the roadside, they just find somebody and they leave the goods over there. You really have a chaotic situation in distribution.
So
we need to be careful in delivering the goods.
That's right.
So local contact is absolutely essential, and I'm so glad that Mary and Anna, you know, so you are doing that kind of thing, you know, because I know as a Nepali that seems to be less of a problem because these guys know like we know exactly who we are talking and who is good and who is not so good. In fact, I had a friend I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, and he told his brother that, you know, we are not channeling money to the folks like them, you know. So he was upfront about that. You know, we know people who will take the money and, you know, use it properly.
You know, Kabi, we're getting up on the top of the hour. We're going to take this segment of the show until 5:15. So just hold that thought for a minute. I do want to ask Kabi, what is contact for if someone wants advice? We know now that Mountain People is one organization. We're going to be talking after the break about Mighty Nepal. We talked about beyondthefourwalls.org. Yes. Mm-hmm. What is a contact website information? If someone wants advice from people who they trust, they know have the warmth and love in their heart for their people, how do they contact Sneha?
Oh, there is a website. It's called eSneha, eSneha.org. And on that site, you know, there's admin@esneha.org. If you can send an email from that website, then, you know, it'll get to one of us, and, you know, we will find the right person. Even if we do not know, if they have a question, we can do the research. We can contact the people who know in Nepal, and we will make sure that, you know, whatever money they are raising is getting to be used, you know.
Perfect. So that is admin, A-D-M-I-N, at E-S-N-E-H-A dot O-R-G.
Right.
Thank you very much. We'll be back with our guests in just a minute. I'm Rick C. This is Out of the Box. It's a couple of minutes after 5 o'clock, and we're going to do our top of the hour business. Again, we'll be back, and then we'll have an open call-in period about 5:15 and 5:35. We'll be listening, have a call from Tony Novak Clifford from Mana'o Radio. Let's go to Dove.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
This KKCR program is supported in part by listeners like you in partnership with Hawaii Life and Tahiti Nui.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Lu'au, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. One more event coming up.
Laser Bear Productions presents Dave Mason's Traffic Jam. One night only on Friday, June 12th at the Kauai Community College Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 7:30. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and co-founder of the legendary band Traffic, Dave Mason, performing with his band all the hits including Dear Mr. Fantasy, Feeling All Right, and We Just Disagree. A journey back to the greatest days of rock with Dave Mason's sight and sound experience. Traffic Jam. Information, tickets, and Golden Circle at 808-896-4845 or at laserbear.com. LAZARBEAR.com.
To Out of the Box. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. Thanks for opening your minds and your hearts to what we're talking about. You know, I'm a political guy. I love politics. But you know what? I love culture, and I love people, too. And if you want to get any calls in, we're going to be talking about this until about 5:15. If you want to get any calls in about Nepal, about what you'd like to do, about questions you have for our guest, we have, again, in the studio, I have Mary Bartnikowski, I have Maria Christina, and Maria's here going to talk about the Love for Nepal event that's happening this Saturday here in Moloa'a. And then on the phone, Sharad Marahata, who is a member of Sneha, the Society of Nepalese in Hawaii, And he's also a teacher at Kauai Community College. Privileged to have him on island. And Kabe Nupane, who is a member and a mover and shaker there over at the Society of Nepalese in Hawaii, on the phone, both those gentlemen on the phone. So what I want to do is, you know, we haven't gotten a chance to find out about the organization that that is going, the benefit, Maria, the Love for Nepal benefit that's happening here. It's going to benefit an organization called Mighty Nepal. What is that?
It's an organization. It's actually a group of social workers and teachers that came together, and the woman who started it, her name is Mighty, and she actually was a survivor of the sex trafficking. So she went through a huge, obviously very traumatic situation with that herself. So I think that just fueled her passion to help protect girls and women and really help rescue so many of them that have been kidnapped and taken into and trafficking operations. I mean, as well as human trafficking in general. So she was already doing such beautiful work with that before the earthquakes, and now since the earthquake, they've expressed that because there are so many children that have been orphaned, those children are even at greater risk for the trafficking because they're so vulnerable, they're alone.
Yes.
And so they're trying to, you know, some of the main things that they're focusing on since the earthquakes are, you know, trying to reunite living family members that have gotten separated that might not otherwise be able to find each other. They're trying to get the orphaned children off the street. They're taking in women and children because they're obviously all of them are vulnerable as well. And I think Mary had mentioned also that, you know, people even sometimes come from other countries offering work, and there's a lot of innocence there and people that, you know, they might not feel like they're seeing opportunities, and for somebody to come along and offer something that sounds like it could be so supportive, you know, if people don't know better, it could be easy to fall prey to something like that. And so that's another thing with this organization. They do a lot of work to educate girls and women so that they can be aware of these things, because you know, there are girls that have been drugged and kidnapped off of buses that just, they had no idea what was happening. And so they're just working to, you know, spread and raise awareness.
Well, also, you know, one of the challenges, and Kabi or Sharad, if you'd like to very briefly chime in about this, you know, Nepal is also somewhat unique in the fact that really there are very few roads in this country, and you have to hike in. And so getting to these villages to protect these children is difficult. And, you know, I mean, you're Sharad, you're from Gurkha, and Gurkha's way out in the north central area of Nepal. It's very remote.
Yeah, Gurkha is really a remote place. Specifically, the northern part of Gurkha.
Yes.
Is extremely in a remote area.
Yes.
It is in certain conditions, it takes about 1 week to reach the extreme end of northern side.
You're talking about hiking in.
Right.
It's
right,
basically
right.
The only mode of transportation.
Yeah, right, right.
Yes.
So the northern part is really, really a remote area.
So when we talk about, Maria and Mary and Anna and Kabi, we're all talking about, you want to protect the children. This is a challenge. You have to, there are now the landslides across the trails to get to the villages, and you may have people coming in to exploit the situation and saying, oh, well, you can't protect your child, you can't put him in the house, I can take care of your child. And maybe they're vulnerable, maybe they're lied to, but it's a dire situation. So going back to the point I want to make, Maria, is that this benefit on Saturday, which is a sliding scale donation at the door, is an event that all of the money, 100% of the funds, are going to support this organization, Maiti Nepal. And that's spell that for people. M-A-I-T-I Nepal. N-E-P-A-L. And so this is another way, folks, where we can open our hearts and do what we can to support a great people. Let's show that we can do that. Let's prove that we have compassion, that we have love, that we can rise to the occasion. I would be impressed and pleased. I know that I'm going to give the largest donation I have ever made by far in history, and to the Nepal Relief benefit, or whatever you call it, the ongoing relief. And so anything else about the benefit, Maria? Let's remind people of the time and the contact number, so people, because we're starting to wind down the show. Go ahead and give that information out so people can get that address, because we know the address will only be given out by email or by phone.
Okay, sure. It'll be at a private home in Moloa'a. It's a great space for a concert. And the contact phone number is 808-443-6800, or you could email rainbowsofmusic@gmail.com. And the event will take place from 6:30 to 10 o'clock at night. And we just look forward to as many people coming out in love, wanting to support as possible. It's just a really beautiful way to bring the community together and hopefully come together to do more of this.
And I heard you say also earlier, Maria, that you were interested in doing more events.
Definitely.
And that, so if people wanted Definitely. To get involved, maybe say, oh, gosh darn, I'm not available on Saturday night, but I'd like to get involved in doing a house party.
Yes,
I'd like to get involved in cooking a dinner or doing something else. Who should they get a hold of about that?
Please email rainbowsofmusic@gmail.com for that, because we would love to get a community of people together that would want to support coming together for all kinds of, even in our own community, things that we can put together, events to support the community in many ways, even the oceans.
Right.
And we'd love to do more for Nepal, of course. And I'm learning today about, you know, other organizations that would be great to, you know, be able to support also. I mean, ultimately, just whatever we can do to support the people.
Sharad, can we get you to show up at one of these events and give us your Nepalese manao?
I will try to be there.
Okay. No, not this Saturday. I'm saying another time. We can meet you at your office. We can all, 700 people can come to your office for lunch, maybe? Okay, maybe not. No, we could have some dalbat or something. You know, no, I'm joking you, but
I can organize, but I need some extra time.
you don't need to organize. You just need to show up. We will
okay,
just.
I will. Definitely.
We will give you our Hawaiian sneha.
Oh, you know? I will definitely.
That's awesome. That's great. And Mary, you wanted to talk just for a minute about the your son's organization and point out that it is a 501c3.
Yes.
And if you were just a proud mom and came on here touting your son's organization, I probably not wouldn't have invited you. Mm. I believe in what your son is doing.
Oh, yeah.
I went to his website. I see the value in what he's doing. I see the value in Sneha. I know from Maria's well communicated what the value of his Maiti Nepal. Tell us just a moment more and give us the contact information again for the beyondthefourwalls.org.
Well, yeah, you can also, if you want to see the current pictures, go to the Facebook page, which is Wolf Price, W-O-L-F. He's the founder, Price, P-R-I-C-E. And the link to donate is on tilt.com, and it's direct earthquake relief. And it'll come right up because he just raised the 13 to 15,000. And now we're in phase two. So I just want to stress that it's so important to work with people that have the connections there already. He's been there for 10 years. And then the other groups that we're talking about today, because you have to have the connections in Nepal. Sharat and Kabi, you know that that's true, being from Nepal, that it takes those connections to really get things done. And if you don't have them, you can't really succeed. So That's really what I want to leave everyone with, and to open their hearts. And if you need contacts, I have them to get into Nepal to do some volunteering. I'd love to talk with you. And my number is 808-542-4566.
Repeat that again, please.
808-542-4566.
That's great. That's Mary Bartankowski, and she's offering to help connect you or other people up with efforts going on in Nepal. Kavi and Sharad, I feel like you are my brothers now. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. What would you like now? Kavi, I want you to give us the information about the SNEHA, the Society of Nepalese in Hawaii, contact information and how people might be able to get involved or make a donation through your worthy organization.
Yeah, the main way to reach SNEHA is through its website, esneha.org. admin@esneha.org is its email. It does not have a staff. It does not have an office. So basically, its members are the organization. So, you know, I can give you my cell phone number, 808-341-1212.
Great.
But, you know, this is just my personal cell phone number. It's not SNEHA's. But, you know, I can connect people if you need any information on that one. Before I forget, Rick, you know, you are truly my brother. I know Sharad is already my brother, but I'm so impressed with, you know, Anna, Mary, Maria, you know, so you guys are doing awesome. So I would cook lunch and dinner for you and come to Honolulu, you know.
I want to take you up on that.
Yeah.
Yes, please do.
Well, we all come through Oahu. I have family on Oahu, and so I will be there, and I will look forward to meeting you in person. Thank you so much for being on behalf of your wonderful people. And Sharad, the same to you, my brother.
Yeah, thank you very much for.
Thank you, Rick, for connecting.
Bringing this issue, important issue, in the out of the box program.
Thank you.
And then, sometimes very soon, I hope we'll meet and we'll meet in a dinner table.
That's fantastic.
And thank you very much. Specifically to Mary, Rick, and Anna, thank you several times.
You are very, very welcome. And, of course, thanks to Dove, who's our great engineer. None of us would be able to be here, have our voices heard, have the phones answered if it wasn't for him. So thank you very much for showing up and doing your part. So good night, gentlemen, and we will talk again. And thank you again for all you're doing.
Sure. Thank you.
All right, aloha.
Thank you. Aloha.
Well, Mary and Maria, thank you again for what you're doing. I will see you on Saturday at the event.
Yep.
And that phone number again, if they want to get directions to that event?
808-443-6800.
808-443-6800. That's the number to call to get that address. Phone lines are open, 826-7771. This is Out of the Box. I'm Rick C. Be back pretty soon with the general manager of Out Radio. Neha is all you need. How does that rhyme? Is that worked up? What do you think? Sneha is all you need?
Yeah. You can make anything rhyme, right? Bob Dylan does.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks for reminding me of that. Phone lines are open about anything you want to talk about. I always try and make a little time for that here in Out of the Box when I'm hosting. Something on your mind? I know there was one friend out there that had something that she wanted to call in about, so this would be the time to do that. You have issues, well, we all have issues. I mean, you have something that you want to talk about that's important, you want information you want to give to the community, feedback for us here at the station. 826-7771 is the number here at KKCR. And again, at 5:35, we will have Tony Novak Clifford, who is the General Manager and Program Director of Mana'o Radio, our sister community radio station on Maui. He'll be showing up here on the phone, that is, and we'll be talking with him about Mana'o Radio. And that kind of shifts gears a little bit. Whew, I think I have to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
You know?
Good job,
wow.
Rick. Thanks for setting up Rick C., setting up these guests and everything. Yeah. And this is a call-in talk show, so we'd love to hear from you. 826-7771 if you have something you want to announce, even an event or something that you have on your mind that you'd like to get out over the airwaves. This is your radio show. So we do this every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6. Phone lines are open for you to call your radio station, and we'll put you on the air if you'd like. Or if you don't, we can just take your message and relay it also.
Yeah, we aim to please, you know? How many lost dogs have been found through KKCR?
Yes,
and
true,
all those
true.
Different things. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of interesting. So we're going to be talking community radio coming up with Tony. But, you know, this is one of the services we provide. I think it's just awesome. You know, I've said for, I don't know, 2 or 3 decades now, maybe more, that community radio is the thing that can save the world. And I really believe that, you know, it is the people's media. It is our communication tool where we can talk together, where we can relay our verbal ideas out there. Now, of course, in the last 2 or 3 decades, there have been other media that have arisen, the electronic form that allowed us to post things on Facebook and do things, a video on the internet. But, you know, this is a media. This is now. And this is your time in your station. So if you have something to say, you know, give us a call. You know, so a few things that come to mind for me. What's going on with Mauna Kea right now? I know what the governor said. I was unable, because I was off island, to go to the HAPA meeting. They had the HAPA membership meeting on Saturday here in Lihue, and they talked, and I know that Walter Riddy spoke about the Mauna Kea, it's not a crisis, it's a Mauna Kea opportunity that is fueling a resurgence, rightfully so, of the Hawaiian sovereignty movement. And so I'm not sure what's going on with that right now. I know the governor did his song and dance. There's a variety of interesting things going on out there in the world. If you have something you want to, you know, say, put it out there. There's the whole FIFA thing. I'm not a sports guy. I would say
you want to talk about, I could talk to you about anything you want during this call-in time period except sports. And you can call in and talk about sports and tell us why the Dodgers are your favorite basketball team, and I just won't be able to debate it because I'm not a sports person. But we do have a caller, and hi, you're on Out of the Box, and welcome.
Oh, thanks, Rick C. A wonderful program. Thank you very much.
Oh.
This is Marge calling, and my concern is here on Kauai, and it's about the Hokua Place development that is being projected for Kapaa. And what's happening now is that that development first has to go through a zoning change with the State Land Use Commission. And unless they get the zoning change from agricultural to urban, then the proposal that the developers have cannot happen at this time.
Hey, Marge, now this development had another name, Kapa'a Heights or something?
Highlands, I believe.
So it's the same thing with a new package or new name.
That's right. It's now called Hokua.
Okay.
Place.
Let's talk just for a minute. Can you give us some specifics about that? How big is it? Where is it?
Well, you know, this has been going on for so long, my memory doesn't serve me that well, but it's, and I don't have all the information in front of me. It's a lot of acres. It's the hill immediately surrounding the Kapa'a Middle School. I really won't say because I can't remember how many acres it is.
I'm remembering 800 homes.
Yeah, it's around that.
Yeah.
Which it's projected that people have 2-point-some cars per household. So that's going to make at least 1,600 cars on top of that hill coming and going during the day and night. And so there was a preliminary environmental impact statement, which many of us read and responded to. There was a huge response to the land use commission. That's a state commission. And now here they have put out, the developer has put out the draft environmental impact statement, and they were supposed to have many solutions to mitigate some of the problems that were brought up by the people who responded to the first EIS.
And environmental impact statement.
Yeah. And so I've read both of these documents. This last one that's come out was about 400 pages thick.
Wow.
I haven't read the whole thing, but I've read the two areas that are of most interest to most people, and that, of course, is traffic, number one, being the most primary concern, not only for the people who live in Kapa'a, but for the people on the North Shore who are trying to get through to Kapa'a, either way, coming north or south,
sure.
to
sure.
Either get to Lihue, to doctor and dentist appointments, or to the airport, or from these events.
Sure, good
and
point.
So having so much additional traffic at through Kapa'a, right there in Kapa'a town, is of concern. So I did speak to the man now in charge. He's the Kauai rep for the State Department of Transportation because I had two concerns. The developer said that there would, to eliminate the problem of traffic at the school coming out of the school parking lots and heading Malka or after school or heading Mackay from the Wailua homesteads in the morning to bring their children to school, they propose a roundabout up there on Olehena Road. And there's two other roads that come together there, which are really a bottleneck. Well, according to the man, the Kauai rep for the Department of Transportation, a roundabout costs between something like $5 and $7 million. Yeah. And the county is not responsible for that road. I mean, the state is not responsible for Olehena Road. That's a county road. So for a roundabout to be built there, The county would have to spring for that, and there's no doubt in my mind that the county doesn't have any money for that. So
I thought that the developer had said that they were going to build the road. Did that not include they were going to build the road and donate that to the county? That did not include the roundabout?
No, they're building a road through their subdivision, and they're saying that because they are building that road that starts, or one end of it is on the bypass road right by the entrance to the tent church that's there, and then it comes out at the edge of the parking lot of the Kapa'a Middle School. That's where it will exit onto Olehena Road. So they are saying that that will mitigate the traffic going through the roundabout, that people can cut through this road that will go right through the subdivision. The only problem is that it's not indicated on their plan as a something that's a thoroughfare road. It's only indicated as just a road for the people who live there. So they're going to have to change that if that's what they're going to say is going to mitigate the problem at the school parking lot or at the roundabout.
So, Marge, we just have a couple more minutes, but I got to play devil's advocate with you. You know, people say we need more housing in Kauai, and we need more affordable housing. And how can you argue against that?
Well, because there's several other sites that have been located, and they're mostly in Lihue, where there are good bus routes, and they've been basically on the drawing boards for a long time. The developers apparently figure maybe it's not worth it to build them now, but there's space there, it's zoned there, it's by the airport, and that's where low-income housing can very best be suited, because people can then get easily to the south and the west sides for jobs and easily to Kapa'a and the north shore for jobs. But putting it in Kapa'a is just causing a unnecessary bottleneck, which already is going to be saddled with two brand-new hotels plus the reopening of the Coco Palms. And if anyone is listening on the North Shore, I would hope that you will take the time to write your comments to the following addresses, and I'll state them briefly, and maybe you at the KKCR can write this down in case anybody calls. The developer is, here's the address to send your comments, info, I-N-F-O, at, and I'll spell this, HOOKULEANA.com. Info at hookuleana.com. And the other one is the Land Use Commission, and their email address is luc@dbedt@hawaii.gov. And also, speaking to a council person this morning, that person said it would help if people let our county commissioners know whether you have a really strong opinion about this, pro or con, so that they have a heads up when it comes time for them to okay the zoning change, because it not only has to go through the state Land Use Commission, but apparently it has to be approved also by the County of Kauai once they make a decision. So we need to let our commissioners know.
Okay, so let's just revisit those addresses real quickly. I need to bring this to a close. I thank you very much for your comments. So we have, if they want to contact the developer, it's info at hookuleana.com.
Yes.
And then the Land Use Commission, then those are the people I would think I would want to get a hold of. The developer may or may not listen to me. Hopefully the Land Use Commission, as public servants, will. I missed all of that. It's LUC at?
Yes, LUC at dbedt.hawaii.gov. And they are the most important people because they get to say whether or not the zoning gets changed. So if it doesn't get changed, then this is not going to go forward. There will be at least one public hearing on Kauai. It's not announced at all yet. They have to assess whether or not they're even going to go that far with it. It depends on how many people and how many county departments give a green light on this. And then they determine whether or not the EIS statement is correct, whether it has to be modified, and then we will have public hearings on Kauai.
Marge, thank you for your call. Thank you for your work on behalf of the people, and hopefully people will share their opinions, as you say, whether pro or con, about this development. It's going to have, no matter what, it's going to have a big impact on East Kauai, on the traffic and housing and land use and all these different things. So, I join you in encouraging people to make their opinions known.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about the Maui radio station.
Well, that's coming up next. Thank you very much, Marge.
Aloha.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Speaking of the Maui radio station, and we were... I think I have on the line Mr. Tony Novak Clifford. Tony, are you there?
I am here. Aloha, Rick, and aloha, Kauai.
Hey, so good to hear your voice here on Kauai Community Radio. We're starting an audio bridge here. I like it.
How wonderful. I am a big fan of the station. I became aware of you guys, about 8 years ago or something, and was really blown away by what you were doing over there.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you very much. Well, and same back to you. I mean, now let's get. You've been involved. You know, you're a programmer for many years, and now you're kind of taking the leadership role at Mana'o Radio on Maui. And you've been involved for 14 years. Tell us a little bit. So you know the history. Let's just encapsulate the history so people know. How did you get started? That you, and meaning Mana'o Radio.
Well, we started as Mana'o Radio. These days, we're now known as Mana'o Hanaho Radio. Oops, my alarm is going off. Hold on one second.
Not a problem. You know, it's real radio, and that's how things go here.
There we go.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
We're now known as Mana'o Hanaho Radio, but yes, the station started, I think, about 14 years ago in 2001. It was founded by a husband and wife team that were more or less refugees from commercial radio and had more or less had enough, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, that's not hard to understand if anybody knows commercial radio.
Yes, indeed. Barry Shannon and Kathy Collins founded the station. For the first few months, they operated out of their spare bedroom.
And I love that.
DJs would show up at 6 a.m. and quietly let themselves into the house while Barry and Kathy were sleeping and start live programming every day.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. See, folks, that's community radio. You know, I love that. So then how long did that go on in their house and in that type of small format, and how many watts was it at that point?
I believe they started out at 60 watts. The broadcast antenna was mounted to the roof of their house, which actually we just finally removed as a favor a couple of weeks ago.
That is great.
And I think they worked out of their bedroom for 3 or 4 months. I'm not sure. I wasn't with the station at that time.
Yep.
I became aware of them about 6 months after they got to the airwaves. I had read a story in the newspaper about them and tuned in, and I think I was listening in my car and couldn't get out for about an hour. I just couldn't wait to find out what was coming up next.
One of those driveway moments, as they say.
Yes, indeed. And I sent Barry Shannon a long letter introducing myself and called him repeatedly until he finally let me in the door as a fill-in guy for a while, just to get rid of me, I think, basically.
I've been there. Yes, I understand.
Yes. That quickly turned into, I think, 3 weekday shows a week.
Nice. Okay. So you must have done something right or wrong.
one never knows, I guess, in community radio, do we?
We don't. But it's okay. So let's catch us up. So then they got a power boost, and then something happened, and it changed, and they went off the air.
Well, the station went along really well for about 7 or 8 years. And unfortunately, Barry developed some health issues that rather quickly ended his life unexpectedly, and that kind of demoralized all of us for a while, and Kathy, his wife, worked very hard to keep things going while maintaining a full-time job with the county, and also she is a performer and has a hectic schedule doing live performance as a comedian and a storyteller and a dancer and any other number of acts that she performs. But she carried on as best as she could for another 6 or 7 years, and finally decided that this was her husband's dream, I think, and as much as she wished to continue it, she just couldn't.
Yes.
And decided to shut the station down.
Mm-hmm. And then so you must have come to a decision point in your life. As I understand it, something rose up in you, and whether you like the decision now or not, you kind of took the reins.
Well, I had been involved in college radio in the 70s, and I had learned what kind of community can build around a station like this. And I felt that Maui deserved something like this, because otherwise our radio landscape is fairly barren.
Well, we remember radio landscape. Many of us here remember radio landscape before KKCR. And
exactly.
It was pretty spare and hurting and nothing I wanted to listen to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when Kathy decided to shut the station down, which I believe was April 21st at 10 a.m. Or 10 p.m.
To 2014?
2014.
Yep.
I begged her to let us continue as Mauo Radio and just form a new board and take over the reins, so she wouldn't have to take care of it anymore.
And so you or someone like you would not have to go through the whole process of getting an FCC license and a frequency and all of that process.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that, but I think that would bore your listeners to death.
But you by keeping the radio station alive, you were able to circumvent that most circuitous path.
Well, no, actually, we weren't. For whatever reasons, Kathy decided the best thing to do would be to shut the station down.
Yeah.
But she agreed to allow us to form a new nonprofit organization, organize a new board of directors, and agreed to donate us all the broadcast equipment and the music library.
I see. Did you get the same frequency?
We did get the same frequency.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and you got also a power boost.
We got a power boost by the time we returned to the airwaves, which was about a month and a half later, as the new Mauo Hana radio. We were broadcasting at 1,200 watts.
As opposed to?
Well, I think we had gone from 60 to 120 watts shortly before, maybe a year before we shut down.
That's fantastic. That's a, I don't know, what's that, a 1,000% increase or something, up to 1,200 watts. So now here we are, pretty much, that was a year ago, right? Back on the air a year ago.
That's correct, and I would love to give a shout out to Kauai resident Don Mussel, who acts as our volunteer consulting engineer.
Nice.
None of that would have happened without him.
Nice. Well, thank you, Don. And yeah, that's it. We all pull together to help each other, and that's what I think. I know the people at KKCR are very excited about having more deeper, more active communication and connection between KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, and Mauo Hana Ho Radio. So tell us now about where you are. So you have taken on the role of general manager and program director, and as I kind of understand it, you've kind of stabilized the organization, and I hear it's in the works to get a signal over to West Maui, which has been lacking.
That's correct. Once we got the broadcast power increased from 60 to 120 watts, we moved a tower to a tower farm up on top of Haleakala Volcano here on Maui, which gave us broader reach into areas we weren't serving before. Previous to that, we were only really hitting central Maui, parts of our country, and parts of the North Shore. At the time we got to 120 watts, we were able to get into places like Ma'alaya in central South Coast and the entire South Maui coast, Kihei, Wailea areas.
Nice.
When we got the 1,200 watt increase, that got us even further into other areas we weren't reaching, but our signal is still blocked into West Maui by the West Maui Mountains.
So, rumor has it that that's going to change.
By end of summer, we have plans on putting our transmitter on Lanai and broadcasting our signal straight into all of West Maui so they will get us loud and clear.
And, of course, West Maui is where Lahaina, Kaanapali...
Lahaina, the Kapalua, basically, yes.
All of that area, which, of course, is a populated area, another populated area, and an area I'm sure will have be grateful to get to Mana'o Hanaho Radio.
We sure hope so, and we get comments to that effect on a regular basis. When are you coming?
Please do. Don't delay. So we're going to open up the phone lines. Casey, anybody has a question about community radio or about Mana'o Hanaho Radio, we're going to limit the subject to those types of interactions on the phone. 826-7771 here at KKCR. I'm Rick C. I'm here today on Out of the Box. It's about 13 minutes before 6 p.m. That's when we will end our show. I have Dove as engineering, and I'm talking again to Tony Novak Clifford, who is the general manager and program director of Mana'o Hanaho Radio, our sister station over on Maui. So, Tony, how do you guys do fundraising? This is the big question everybody wants to know when you're doing community radio. How do you keep the electric bill paid, the phone bill paid? How does that work?
That's a really interesting question, Rick. It's a struggle for, I think, all stations of this nature. And to be honest with you, I don't know the answer. To be honest with you, we don't have any serious organized fundraising effort except for a monthly live benefit concert we've been doing for 13 years.
Is that the Upcountry Sundays?
That's correct. Upcountry Sundays Acoustic Style, which is produced by one of our programmers, Dorothy Betts, and her husband, Les Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a great job, and it raises a little bit of money for us every month. And then we do we take a food booth as a nonprofit organization. We're allowed to have a food booth at the Maui County Fair every fall. This one's coming up in September, and we sell pulled pork sandwiches, and that generates $4,000 or $5,000 for us net at the end of the fair every year. And the rest of it comes entirely from listeners and community-minded businesses who, I guess, find that we fill a need that they didn't know they had prior to our existence.
And people who rise to the occasion and actually show up and say, we want to support you.
It's quite amazing. We don't really, obviously we run promos on a regular basis on the air asking people to support us. But other than that, there's really not any organized effort at the moment.
So fund drives, membership drives, don't have those?
It has been discussed. I really hate the idea of it, but it's not out of the question.
Oh, you think you're unique in hating the idea about it, Tony, huh?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said you think you're unique in hating the idea about that?
Oh, no, I don't.
No, I'm kidding.
As a listener, I know it drives listeners crazy, and I would hate to resort to that, but it's not out of the question, believe me.
Well, you know, look, what's the alternative? You know, that's what we say. But, you know, what's really awesome is you are getting by there without having to do that. Now, your budget is less than KKCR's. And then I want to acknowledge that KKCR does everything they can to raise funds in as passive a way as possible without having to plead and beg. And we've got a great community here on Kauai, as you do on Maui, that has risen to the occasion, come in and supported us. And we're very, very pleased with that. And we appreciate that people can will understand that special programming we do twice a year is in lieu of having commercials and propaganda and stuff shoved down your throat, everything you've got to buy. So
absolutely. Mahalo, Hawaii. Mahalo, Maui. Mahalo, Kauai, for all you do, for all kinds of community organizations, and especially the organizations we're involved in community radio.
Absolutely.
Couldn't do it without you.
So, you know, I had the pleasure, as you know, to be on Maui for a few days recently, and I came into your station. I love the nice, real simple environment you have right in downtown Wailuku. And I met a couple of your DJs, one of whom I have known for over 30 years, and had his 70th birthday party as a benefit at the Iao Theater, as a benefit for Mana'o Hanaho Radio. And also, I got to say, you know who I met on Monday afternoon, Alec. I got to say, you have been pulling in some interesting people because music is important to you. Talk just for a minute about Alec, how he showed up, how he shows up in general with his show, and how do you choose, you know, who goes on the air? You're the program director. You're making those decisions.
Well, Alec is, I call him our token 13-year-old. He's really 20 years old. He performs in a couple of, I guess what you would call punk bands here on the island.
Yeah.
And he and a friend of his, who actually holds down two shifts a week on our station, proposed the idea of doing a late night from midnight to 3 a.m. Saturday, Sunday morning, punk show on the station.
Nice.
I had never heard a punk show in Hawaii. I was a fan of the punk scene and lived kind of in the middle of it in Washington, D.C. in the mid-19 and late 1970s. And I was all for it, especially as long as it was after midnight, which is probably the most appropriate time for it.
Yeah, but now with Alex on in the afternoon, you trust him.
Well, Alec has tastes that run into the sort of aggressive power pop music range, and a slot became open on a Monday afternoon, and we gave him a shot at it, and he does a great job.
God bless you, Tony. He's a, you know, and to me, you're not playing it safe with putting Alec on in the afternoon, and he's obviously, you know, I met him for just a few minutes, a really smart guy who kind of has a, you know, that kind of alternative view of artistic expression and music and, you know, things that you know, that I think I can learn from as a listener. I can take that, and I'm going to go someplace different when I listen to a show like that. And I'm getting from that that music is something that's really important to you.
I think it's important to all of our staff. And unlike many commercial stations or non-commercial stations around the country, our primary focus has been and continues to be at the moment music programming almost exclusively.
Right.
And adventurous music programming. And just one other word about Alec. Besides his alternative artistic aesthetic, this kid brings unbridled enthusiasm, which I wish I could infect everybody I meet with, because he's full of energy. He just wants you to share in the things he's passionate about.
He radiates that energy, that smile, and that everything, and you know, that's just something fantastic to share. So now you've got that music thing going on. When I was on island, only station I was listening to recently for those few days was Mana'o Hanaho Radio, and yet you don't have public affairs. Why not? What's going on? You don't have talk shows. You don't have music shows, news shows and things like that. What's up with that?
Well, I guess originally, that was kind of the plan for Barry Shannon, the founder of the station. That was not really something he was interested in, other than at one point we did try to develop our own newscast, one that was produced by volunteers, which, as you probably well know, is pretty difficult to do because it requires a lot of time and energy. Since then, we have found that our listeners comment that they tune into us to escape commercial radio, number one, and because they're blown away by the variety of out-of-the-box music that we expose them to. So we've kind of stuck with that formula for the time being, although we are beginning to consider some, I won't say talk format, but informational, community positive, community building chat on the radio.
So what's in the near future? You know, for the next year or two, what's your vision, Tony, for Mana'o Hanaho Radio? Where do you want to go?
When I first became program director, my immediate goal, which I have yet to fulfill, is to bring some Hawaiian language programming to the station. Whether it's once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, a little bit of Hawaiian language, along with English language. Talk format, Hawaiian music, and sort of a focus on building community rather than ranting about whatever the controversial issue of the day is.
Yeah, so and you have an advantage there on Maui over us and here on Kauai in that there is Hawaiian music programming at another station.
there is a commercial station that does principally Hawaiian music programming. Mm-hmm. So that's a great thing, except for car commercials in between.
Yep.
But
so some of that need is being met on Maui, and so maybe you know your schedule is going to shape up differently than KKCR's, and as it should be to serve your community and what the needs are.
That's correct. We have brought in a little bit of Hawaiian music program. We Hawaiian program show twice a month on Sunday mornings into early afternoon, and that's become quite popular, and we're happy to have it.
Great.
If I can add Hawaiian language, at least on a limited basis, I feel really like we have brought our host's culture fully into what we're doing with Mana'o Hana Radio.
Fantastic. We have to wrap up here because we have our community council report coming up just in a couple of minutes. Tony, just give us the website for Mana'o Hana Radio, and do you stream there?
We do stream worldwide, 24/7, and you can find us at just go to manaoradio.com. That's manaoradio.com.
And then they can find your schedule there, stream. I'm on the site now, and I see this thing that I love here. You got this one section, I love punk rock, slam dance your way into Sunday each and every Saturday night. On Mana'o Hana Radio, you know,
Pepper Boy Alec,
you're playing and you're having fun there. I honor you, and I look forward to hearing about the growth of Mana'o Hana Radio. And we are with you, and we want to support you and have you support us here in our mutual goal to serve our communities here with community and immediate radio.
Absolutely. And if I could just take a moment to say thank you to my board of directors, to my volunteer engineer, to all the volunteers that devote their time, their passion, and their energy to producing what I think is the best music programming on the radio anywhere.
Thank you so much, Tony. We really appreciate that. And we will continue the dialogue, and I will certainly be talking to you soon.
Great to talk to you, Rick. Aloha, Kauai. Thanks for tuning in. Check out Mana'o Hana Radio.
Thank you. Aloha, and good night from out of the box. Thank you, Dove, again. It's
Yay.
Been a great evening.
Thanks for being here. Great to have that connection with the local radio station on one of the other islands. That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You know, we support each other and, you know, look at how we can, what we do for each other. I mean, Hawaii Public Radio provides great service. Mm-hmm. And then what is the one on at the college? At university there. It's not coming to me right now. That's a great music.
On Oahu.
Great music station. It's just not coming to my mind right now. But, yeah, that's what we're doing. And I will be taking a break, be gone for some weeks now. And I want to thank you and thank Dean and Laura and everybody who supported me and being here on the radio. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Stay tuned in to KKCR and check out our sister station, manaoradio.com and or .org maybe. And I will look forward to talking to you again. My love to you and to the people of Nepal. Good night.
Here's the county council report.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKC. Here's the county council report for the week of June 1st. There will be a special council meeting this week at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday. The purpose is to interview Lars Chafin, Jr. for the Kauai Historical Preservation Review Commission with a term ending on 12/31/2015. This is also being submitted for approval in the regular meeting. This will be followed by a regular council meeting at about 8:45 a.m., and both meetings will be in the council chambers in the historic county building in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the regular meeting agenda. The mayor submits his supplemental budget communications for fiscal year 2015-2016 and proposed amendments to the budget bills, and a public hearing was held on this on May 27th. Council members Ku'uli'i and Yukamura transmit for council consideration a resolution urging Hawaii's congressional delegation to address excessive campaign spending. This is resolution number 2015-44. Councilmember Chalk transmits for council consideration a proposed draft bill to amend the county code relating to the recovery of rescue expenses. The purpose of this bill is to amend the definition of recoverable expenses to include fuel expenses relating to a rescue and clarify and align the language in Section 13.2 with Hawaii Revised Statute Section 137-2. He proposed draft bill number 2589, which is also under bills for the first reading. The Executive on Aging requests approval to receive and spend Act 151 funds in the amount of $134,077 for ongoing program costs for better choices, better health, and enhanced fitness. Under committee reports, the Planning Committee has an